Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about that which is poured out because it is freely given. And so let us pray. O God, would you prepare our hearts to accept your word? Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. There are three readings for today, and they all come from the NIV. The first is from Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, where Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The second reading is from Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Our final reading is in two parts. It's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, and then from verse 16 to 18. Paul speaking says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Verse 16 onwards, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen." And so may God bless his word to us today and always. Our lives, while here on earth, are to be understood in the light of God's call that we represent him in the world. This is our highest call. This is our most satisfying call if we will embrace it. It is the greatest thing that we can ever engage in during our lifetimes. And it is never too late to sharpen our focus on being on God's mission in this world. For we always live under the words of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, reminding us that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And here's the important part. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God has prepared a path of good works for believers, which he will perform in and through them as they walk by faith. This does not mean doing a work for God. Instead, it is God's performing his work in and through believers. Our part is to walk in them, to respond to his call. How should we understand this? While every aspect of life is important, we are not talking about the everyday works of life. And while working at a job or career is important, we are not talking about the work people are doing this way. While raising and caring for a family is important, we're also not talking about the work of having a family. And why I say this is because all these things are on the agenda of the unbelieving world as well. Therefore, the works that God calls us to must be seen as those which serve God's kingdom purposes. This means our part in every aspect of life is to glorify God, to point people to Christ, in our daily tasks, to point people to Christ, and in our family life, to point people to Christ, mostly with deeds, and where necessary, with words. And then, as we do, we will find God drawing us into other areas of ministry. In short, I'm talking about sharing in things freely given, and to not hold back. Did you notice the word pour or poured occurring in all three our readings? While there are differences in the words used in the original languages, there is in all of them the element of living generously and selflessly and not holding back. Now let's turn to our passages. So firstly, we have the blood of Christ poured out for us. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, Jesus talks to his disciples at the Passover and informs them that the cup which he is sharing with them represents the blood of the new covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In this instance, Jesus indicates that his blood is to be poured out for all humanity, meaning his life will be given for ours. And the image of being poured out is quite clear. Christ's life was not taken from him, but he laid his own life down for us, willingly and freely. And this is evident in John chapter 10, verse 15, where Jesus said, "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Then in verses 17 to 18 of the same chapter, Jesus says again, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father," clarifying also that this was determined before the foundation of the world in the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus would dwell among us and finally lay down his life to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, so that in this selfless act, all who call on the name of the Lord, putting their trust in Jesus, will be saved. This brings us to our second passage, which refers to the promised Holy Spirit, who would be poured out on all people. Again, we see God's selfless act in a passage referenced by Peter on the day of Pentecost, namely Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. An event that would mark the birth of the church, who, according to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, would be made up of every tribe and language and people and nation, who are purchased for God by Jesus with his own blood. And upon them God pours out his Holy Spirit, who not only dwells among us, but in us, so that we can walk in the works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. In many ways, the act of God's Spirit being poured out and his willingness to reside in our sometimes very self-centered hearts is a divine act of generosity. And so that brings us to our final text, a life poured out for God. When Paul says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering," he is speaking with an awareness that his life was nearing its end. And though he saw the end coming as a final pouring out, his ministry had been a steady outpouring of his life for Jesus, freely given, poured out into the lives of the many souls with which he had come into contact. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22, he said of himself, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me." His was an extraordinary ministry where life consisted only in serving Jesus with every fiber of his being. Granted, those were extraordinary times in the early years of the church, but they still beckon us to strive onwards and upwards as we serve God. And this is the nature of God's call on each of us. It is about being poured out with God's help in selfless service. In ministry that glorifies God, reveals the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and even when it seems to reap no visible return, is done in the name of and for the sake of Jesus. Again, Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, sums up the reason why he was so given to God and why we should be poured out as well for God in this life. He says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Christ's love is the thing that drives us. We are so loved by God, and so therefore we are captured by him for the sake of the gospel. And so we are always faced with choices. Ours is simple. If we are God's people, then we should be willing to be poured out for God. Our lives ought to be a yes to the Spirit as we walk in the works that God has prepared for us to do. And so may God encourage us, strengthen us, and guide us as we walk in his ways. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus gave himself for our salvation, that you have poured out your Spirit on your church. This is good news. We thank you that in Jesus and by your Spirit, we have been made one, gathered together to be the light and salt in this world, while we are able. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.